This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. The reading begins at verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of the poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress the stranger, for thou, read it once again now, Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. Also thou shalt not oppress the stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the 7th year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the 7th day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed, in the month Read it once again now. Exodus chapter 23, verse 15. Exodus chapter 23, verse 15. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 33. Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 33. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. Our topic for discussion today. Beware of angels. The setting of our worship lesson for today is that which is in the time of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and being on their way to the promised land. God has demonstrated his great power to the Egyptian authorities and to the Egyptian people, and has brought his people Israel out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And now they are on their way to the promised land. It will take them some time to get there, but God gives them his word. They know how to live now. They know what God wants. Just as many of you know what God has said, but many of you perhaps are not doing what he has said. As he told them what he required, he has told you. You may have shut your ears. You may have decided that you will not listen, and you may have kept yourself from opportunities to hear his word. Opportunities such as what you're listening to right now. Opportunities such as church and other religious Christian types of events where the word of God in truth is presented. God tells them what he wants, and in a nutshell, what he wants is righteousness, holiness. Being righteous and holy is not always easy when you live among unrighteous and unholy people. It requires a separation of sorts. It requires an often, no, I will not do that. No, I do not do that. No, I do not agree with that. No, that is not right. Once you've been given God's yes to everything that contravenes or that contradicts that yes, you must say no to. The Christian is to say yes to what God says yes to. And the Christian is to say no to everything that God says no to. Many of you, if you were to admit it, are not following that principle. You are not following the principle of righteousness, nor are you following the principle of holiness. but you're following the dictates of mere man. You're following the philosophies of mere man. You're following the teachings of mere man, all of whom will be dead within 100 years. All of whom, all the great people that you are following and that you hold in such high esteem will be dead within 100 years, and most of them earlier and sooner than that. Yet you staked your present and your future and your eternity on them and their philosophy, and they are going to die, and many of them will go to hell. Yet you are following them when you could follow the word of God, some of which I just read in your hearing. And you can read, I won't try to rehash it all, but he's very clear. He was very clear to the children of Israel. That is, Almighty God was very clear. The Lord was very clear in letting the children of Israel know exactly what he required and expected. God not only requires, he expects you to obey him. You are expected to obey him. This is not optional. Well, Reverend, I don't obey him all the time, so it must be optional. You don't obey him all the time, but perhaps you aren't realizing that there are consequences to your disobedience. Well, nothing has happened thus far, Reverend. I'm living high. Well, I pray that the word of God gets to you before the judgment of God gets to you. I pray that you will repent before his judgment comes down, because God does not play. Nor does his faithful creatures play. As was mentioned at the outset, our topic is beware of angels. Beware of angels. Some of you think, well, an angel is just some heavenly creature. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. Well, what is an angel? Well, it's not so much what is. An angel is a ministering spirit. But more than that, angels are creatures of God. They operate at the word of God. They operate at and in the word of truth. And anyone that will not operate in the word of truth is kicked out of heaven, and as Satan and his group were, and they're in hell. So the angels of God, or I would say to be reverenced, the Bible says beware of them. Now, we are not to worship them. The angel told John, don't worship him, but to worship God. So we are not to worship them as God, but beware of them. Why, Reverend? Well, in a nutshell, let me say it simply, because they are sent by God. Because the name of God is in them, and they are true to God, and they will not accept what God does not accept. And by the way, you should not accept what God doesn't accept. I should not accept what God does not accept. I try to live by that principle, and maybe you don't. I will tell you, men, women, boys, and girls will turn their backs on you and walk away and assume that you are crazy when you decide that you're only going to accept what God accepts, and that you will not accept anything that God does not accept. When you decide that you will only yes what God yeses, and that you will know everything, that you will N-O, that you will say no to everything that God says no to, you will be worse than what we call a sore thumb. You will stick out as a misfit. You will be seen as a pariah. You will be seen as a troublemaker. You will be seen as one who speaks out of turn. You will be seen as one who talks too much. You will be seen as one who doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. You will be seen as one who doesn't know how to act in public. You will be seen as one who doesn't know how to be a good team player. If you will only yes what God yeses, and if you will know in all everything that God knows, you will particularly in this current world and current culture, you will be a misfit par excellence. A misfit par excellence. I have experiential data on that because I have done it. I have done it for many years. Just one outtake, my brother once ran a convenience store. So one day I went, and it's in my hometown, so all the people in my hometown know me, and this must have been 30 years ago at least. So I stopped by my brother's store, and my brother had to go somewhere, so he asked me to kind of hold the store while he went where he was going. So keep in mind now, this is my hometown. So I'm here. I didn't live there at that time. I lived in a state far away, but I was home visiting my family. And so my brother asked me to hold the store. So the store sold gasoline and all kinds of conveniences. And so people began to come in asking me to, they wanted this and they wanted that. Well, 30 years ago, smoking was a big thing. They'd come in and say, give me a pack of Camel cigarettes, or give me a pack of Winston, or give me a pack of Cools. Now, I'm just there for just a while my brother is gone. I would say to them, I don't sell cigarettes. They would say to me, you're working in a store. What do you mean you don't sell cigarettes? I said to them, I do not sell cigarettes. And they knew me by the way. You see, what do you mean? What's wrong with you? I don't sell cigarettes. I do not sell anything that's going to harm you. Yeah, but you're working in the store. I know I'm working in the store. You want some gas? I'll sell you some gas. You want to buy a bar of soap? I didn't say that, but in essence, and I don't know exactly how I put it, but I let them know, no, you will not buy a cigarette from me while I am here. Well, that seemed particularly 30 years ago. That seemed crazy. Now, right now, it would still seem to some people out of order. But God says no to things that will harm your health. And if God says no to them, I say no to them. I know my brother probably didn't like it, but that didn't matter to me. I say no to what God says no to. If God says no to it, I say no to it. And I've done it. And so you're going to get a bad rep. My son, little son, was in a little school that we put him in, had to pay for him to go. They wanted him to do dancing in leotards. I forget what they call it. It's a little dance that they do. You put on leotards. I said, no, my son is not going to do that. His mother wanted him to do it. They did it after school, I think it was. Or I don't know, maybe it wasn't. But anyway, whenever it was, I said, no, he's not going to do it. Mama said, yeah, he's going. I said, no, he's not going to do it. Well, he's at school. I'll go pick him up. I will pick him up. During that time, he will not do that. So yes, I have a bad reputation among people who have quote unquote good sense. I say yes to what God says yes to. I say no to what God says no to. And nobody messes with me because they feel Well, the boy must be a little touched, you know. The boy just doesn't cooperate. And even on my job, they are very careful. They don't send me anywhere. I understand it because they say, well, you know, we don't know what he might say. And we don't want to be embarrassed, and we don't want to lose our job. But here's a boy who is dedicated to God. We don't know what he might say. So don't send him anywhere. And if company comes, don't invite him to the meeting generally. Don't let him know it. I understand that. I don't get mad with them at that. I understand that. But I say yes to what God says yes to, and I say no to what God says no to. Sounds crazy in 2012 to all of you almost. There may be two or three of you out there who dare to do that. Two or three among 100 million, maybe. But most of you are going to go along because people will look down on you. And preachers, well, I'm not going to talk about you, but if you do this kind of stuff, you will stop being invited to preach somewhere. Because they don't know what you're going to say to their congregation. So they won't invite you. But I've been doing this a long time. I've been walking with God a long time. And he has seen me through every step of the way. He has seen me through. And so I say to you, Christian, we see here in Exodus, and not only Christian, particularly Jews. There are a lot of Jews in America who are trying to get away from Judaism. But I stand as a former Gentile to tell you that this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is the God. Let me tell you something, American Jews. You know, many of you know the history of my people better than I know it. Many of you have taught it, and many of you have researched it and written it. And you know how harsh slavery was. And you know that the people that had black people in slavery were white people, many of whom who call themselves Christians in what we call the Bible Belt. As a matter of fact, the area known as the Bible Belt was the most slave-intensive part of the United States of America, or whatever the colonies were back then. And the people who were from elsewhere had to come and deliver us from the Christian slave masters of the Bible Belt. But let me tell you, American Jews, the descendants of those abused slaves, and I'm one of them, the descendants of those slaves have risen up to accept the God of the slave master, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Now, you think we've done it because they instilled him in us and we don't know any better, and so we just accept him because we were taught that. Well, you may say that about some black people. But you can't say that about me. I'm an intelligent black man, and I am not bragging. I'm not saying this in pride, because I've stood against many, many, many white people. And I have fought for freedom. And I do not accept racism in any form. And I speak against it whenever it raises its ungodly, satanic head. But yet, I embrace without reservation the God of the Christian slave masters. I'm not saying they served him as they should, because had they done so, slavery, I believe, would have been over earlier. But still, I tell you, and I'm speaking to American Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is the God, and beside him there is no God. If I, a descendant of slaves in these United States of America can rise up and promote the cause of the God of my forefathers' slave masters. Without reservation, you ought to examine that. You ought to re-examine that. He is the God that called your forefathers. He is the God that made promises to Jews. He is the God that said that your people are the apple of his eye. Did you know that, American Jews? Did you know that Almighty God said that your people are the apple of his eye? And some of you are trying to get away from him. I'm not arguing at you. I'm just reminding you that if you are fleeing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you are fleeing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, you are most unwise. You are most unwise. You are most unwise. I guarantee you, he is the God. I have seen this God do things that even you as a Jew would not believe if I told you. I guarantee you, American Jew, that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel is God, and beside him there is no God. Oh, I know some of you say, oh, Paige, you're crazy. I understand. I understand your sentiment. I don't accept it, but I understand from a human point of view. I don't accept it, but I understand. I understand. But I've got to tell you, because this is going to be my report when I stand before Almighty God. I'm going to say, I told the American Jews that you were God. I followed a lot of what was going on. A lot of the American Jews were the top leaders during my time to Heavenly Father. They basically, and you all, some of you Jews are going to be mad at this, but I'm going to tell God, God, you know, they basically ran Washington. You know that, God. And I tried to tell them that you are and were Almighty God, and beside you there is no God. I told them that, Father. So, and I'm telling you, dear Jews, in love, in love, in love. My whole point to all of you is that this God is God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He is God, and beside him there is no God. That's why I have staked my past, my present, and my future on Almighty God. I stake my well-being on Almighty God. I've staked everything I have, everything I possess and could ever possess. I stake on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel through his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Talking now about Exodus chapter 23. In it, God lays out what he requires. And keep in mind, this preacher is saying not only that God require it, he expects you to do it. This is not an option. You say, well, Reverend, now that's the Old Testament. Does he expect us to do it now? You are wise enough to understand the principle. God gave them this word. Many of these principles in the new covenant do carry over in terms of our obedience to whatever God said in the new covenant. In other words, what God said in the old covenant, in the first covenant, he meant it and he expected it to be performed. And what he says in the new covenant, he means it, and he expects it to be performed. He expects it. Now, our topic is beware of angels. I want to bring you here to Exodus chapter 23 Verse 20. Some of you don't have the proper respect for angels. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. And I read, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way." Let me start over again now. This is God speaking. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." Now, I want every Christian to come read this. Where is that, Reverend? It's Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 21. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." Now, God is saying a lot there. Beware of angels. Angels will not pardon your transgression. God's name is in the angel. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. If you don't believe angels are serious, if you don't believe angels are someone to beware of, ask a man who was a priest, whose name was Zacharias. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Turn with me quickly. Keep your pointer here. We're coming back to Exodus chapter 23. But turn over to Luke chapter 1. Beware of angels. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Beware of angels. Turn to the New Testament book of Luke. Chapter 1, beware of angels. The reading here begins at verse 5, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. God told his people in the Old Testament, as we see in Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 21, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Then we see in Luke chapter 1 an angel coming to a priest, telling him what God was about to do. And the priest, let's read it here. Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Zacharias demonstrated a lack of faith, asking a question, How shall I know this? A lack of faith, not believing the word of God. The angel did not pardon that transgression either. Look at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That transgression of disbelief, that angel did not pardon, but pronounced a judgment on the priest, that he would be dumb and not able to speak until the words of that angel were fulfilled. Angels speak the words of God. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. Beware of angels. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 21. This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page.